Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. We are grateful that you're here this morning. We pray for when the preacher get on here that we will have a great time in the Lord. I'm on the job, but, you know, I still want to hear the word. Hallelujah. We're trying to see. I've only got one computer with me today, so until it come up. Hallelujah. Understand why this song is not coming up. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we praise your name. Lord, we praise your name. Lord, we praise your name. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm on it. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. We thank you, O God, for the pastor, the apostle, the bishop that is coming to break bread for us today. Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop James Washington, we pray, O God, as they come in, O God, that you would hear from heaven, that you would speak through them, Lord. And that you would use them for your glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We have a little problem with the music right now. We have a little problem with the music. Back here, see what's going on here with this crazy computer. I'll try not to bring both of them today. But for some reason, Power not by might, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. Come and free us, Lord. Come and free us, Lord, by your spirit. Lord, we just pray today for your anointing, Lord, that it would flow on this line like never before. We ask, oh God, as you use this man of God, this woman of God, as they come, each time we don't even have to call them for them to come. They're ready.
I'm willing to do what thus says the Lord. And Father, we ask that you would use them right now for your glory, God. Touch their eyes, their ears, and their lips of clay, God, and allow them to hear, allow them to see, allow them to speak, O God, your truth, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Come on in, Bishop. Come on, Apostle. Let the Lord use you. Come on in. I am going on mute. Come on in.
Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, for having us in the land of the living on another beautiful day, no matter what the weather is where you are, what the weather is where we are. It's not about the weather. It's about the beauty of the Lord. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. If you open your eyes this morning and you could see, hallelujah, you could hear, you could speak, you know, praise the Lord. There are some who, amen, there's so many who crossed over during the night. Hallelujah. Early this morning, late last night, wherever whatever the time is, where you are, you know, it was your time that the Lord called you home. Hallelujah. And you must obey. You don't have any choice. I'll put it like that. The only choice that you have is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior before such time. And stay in the good graces of the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Good day to everyone. As I said, whatever time of night or day, greetings. Glory to the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. My name is Bishop James Washington, and my wife is Apostle Linda Washington. And we're coming to you today with a continuation of part six of our lesson here is from the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, at the end of this teaching, you want to make a comment, or better still, before a comment, if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then comment on you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to your holy name, Father. Thank you, Father, for whatever amount of souls that have been taken into the kingdom on this day, or this evening, or this morning, this night, whatever time it is, wherever they are. They may not be able to, they may just be listening by the internet, you know. But Father God, thank you for another soul being brought to you. Oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus that every time we do this prayer of salvation, no matter who does it, it doesn't matter who does it, who does the prayer of salvation. What matters is how many of us receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to your holy name. Apostle Linda? Yes. Okay. I see you with the puppy. Hallelujah. Glory to your holy name. Glory to your holy name, Lord God Almighty. Kapapasata. Glory, 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 hallelujah. We want to say a special prayer for all those who are ill right now in hospitals and in their homes who are ill. And we ask, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to comfort those who have family members who have, and, you know, we say we lost our family member. No, we didn't lose them. They went home with Jesus. They were lost while they were in this world. You know, we were all lost, but now we are found. As amazing grace is, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah to your holy name, Father. Thank you for opening the eyes of our heart, opening the eyes of our hearts. You know. There's another song that says, I want to see you. We do not seek your hand. We only seek your face. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, Father God, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, Apostle? Oh, okay. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Beginning at verse 15. And the word of God says, thanksgiving and prayers is the heading. And the word of God says, for this reason, even since I heard about in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. Verse 16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. This is Apostle Paul speaking here. Hallelujah. Verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Verse 18 says, pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he is called, and he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance. Call you to the riches of his glorious inheritance, his holy people, to his holy people. In verse 19, and incomparable great power for us who believe, that the power is the same as the mighty strength when he raised the Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand. Oh, a heavenly realm. Verse 21, for above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the past age, but also in the one to come. Wow, wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord God. That's that.
Well, we're not here teaching and preaching from these amen. Greetings to all of you. We greet you with love. We're glad to be back here today. Then we are giving the Lord praise and worship. And so we thank God for all of you, our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
We thank God for you, and as Paul says, We give thanks to you.
Yes.
We give thanks to you and pray for you.
Mm.
We are praying for many different people, many different things, praying about essentially everything. And it's very important that we understand that as we are thriving in our gifts, the gifts are gifts that God has given us, then we are executing the authority that Paul is talking about in verse 20, 21. We are exercising authority, power. Oh, there you go.
Mm.
Amen.
Okay. Apostle, can you hear us now?
You're unmuted.
Oh, okay.
I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you.
I apologize for that. I don't know what happened. But.
So as I was saying, in essence what I'm saying is that we got to know who we are. This is what Paul is talking about. We ought to know who we are. We ought to know what we're working with through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We got to know that. Paul prayed for us in this chapter. He prays that God will reveal to his readers, reveal to us the riches of our inheritance.
Yes, sir.
The riches of it all.
Mm.
We are very, very rich spiritually. Amen. And this is the riches. These are the riches, spiritual riches, that are so much more valuable than any other riches in this world. He says that our inheritance is glory and power. It's our hope. The inheritance gives us hope when we know what we have inherited, when we know about our calling, when we know who we are in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
And then he reminds us, and he reminds them, and he's reminding us today that we are Christ's body. We are his body.
Mm-hmm.
He is the head. And we are the body. Amen?
Yes, Lord.
And we should know through Christ Jesus, because of his word and because of the power that lives in us, which is what we are talking about today, living in the power of Yahweh is the topic.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul is talking about the same thing. We've been talking about it all week. One of the main things we'll be hitting on today more so is wisdom.
Mm.
With wisdom, we are going to understand. We are going to get some understanding from God. We first get the wisdom, and then he lays on us understanding. Paul is saying,
oh, yes.
Praying that our understanding be enlightened, lit up. Without the light, we can't see. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. So he reminds us that we have to stay strong, and we have to know that identity. Today, we have to know who we are. Are we secure in our walk with God? Do we feel secure? Do we feel justified? Do we? We have to ask ourselves, do I really, really know these things?
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to read it.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to preach it. Another thing to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
But do we know it?
Hallelujah.
That's the most important thing. Do we really know it? To hear words is one thing, but do we see it? Amen?
Amen.
And with the light of Jesus Christ, we can see.
Yeah.
Our eyes have been enlightened. The eyes of our understanding has been enlightened.
Mm.
So we are given the strength to endure through all of the challenges and the trials and the Oh, my God. Persecutions and all, especially what's going on today. It's not anything new. It's been going on.
Oh, God.
Christians have been persecuted all throughout time, all throughout the beginning,
mm-hmm.
after Adam and Eve sinned. So we got a lot to cover. But just know, once we are made alive in Christ through the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ,
yes, Lord.
Then we are empowered. We're empowered with the Spirit of God. It's so important to know what the role of the Holy Spirit is.
Yes.
It's why we keep talking about it. We
yeah.
have to have the power.
Yeah.
We got to know what we're working with, y'all. And many people are not acting as if they know.
Mm.
Many, when you hear people talk, they're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It makes you shake your head and wonder what is really going on here. So let's break it down. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Again, we say we're so happy to be with you all. We genuinely are happy to be on this line.
Amen.
Because we genuinely love the body of Christ.
Mm.
The body of Christ, with Jesus being the headship.
Yes.
It's interesting that Paul brings out the point. Jesus Christ is the head.
Mm-hmm.
We are the body. So we can't do anything of the Lord or be empowered with all of what the Spirit of God gives to us without knowing that Jesus Christ is the head.
Mm-hmm.
We are the members of the body. So without the head, there is no life. Hallelujah. No life. When the head is cut off, that's it. None of the other parts of the body is going to work. If we don't have the head and know that the head is Jesus Christ and know that we need him throughout our lives through the Spirit of God, then we really cannot live. We cannot be part of the body. The body cannot live without the head. We can't live and have life more abundantly without Jesus Christ.
My God.
Just absolutely will not happen. So when we say we're members of a church, we're members of this church or that church. So you know the church is supposed to be the body.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be unified in that body. All members working together. All gifts working together. Hallelujah. Why God gave us all different gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And with all those gifts working together, we have power. We have we're unified together.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're working with the power of the Holy Spirit. All gifts, all members, all gifts working together through faith in God.
Yes.
Keeping hope alive. Being unified. Glory be to God. Let's go. Let's go, let's go, let's go right now somewhere else. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a place in our hearts. Excuse me.
It's the weather because Jay was telling me to be out there.
Yeah, there's so much pollen in the air. So, again, we're going to point out, we're going to be talking about authority, power, and dominion. Hallelujah. This is what Paul is focused on here.
Uh-huh.
And when you look at, let's go here. Let's go to the verses. And,
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Deacon. Thank you.
Oh, I think it's
good. As usual, he's on it.
So we have to revelation. Revelation, Jesus Christ, the Word. We have to know about Jesus Christ. We got to know about the Spirit. And I know that when Paul said he's praying that their understanding be enlightened, is because without the understanding, we won't know. We won't understand we won't understand about dominion. We won't understand about our authority in this. We will not understand these things.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me say this. It's not what we look at that matters. It's what we see. What are you seeing? We can look at this word, but what are we seeing? Paul is saying we got to enlighten the eyes. Our understanding has to be enlightened. It has to be lit up. It can't lit up without the light. We got to have the light of God.
Mm-hmm.
Without the light, it's nothing but darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see. So it's not what you look at that matters. It's what you see.
Yes, sir.
Paul is talking about seeing in the Spirit.
Yes.
So, in verses 17 to 21, which Bishop just read, Paul is saying again, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We must pray for that, Bishop.
Amen.
Look at it again. Look at it very closely.
Mm-hmm.
He's praying that the spirit of wisdom and revelation is given so that you may know the Lord better, so you may know what you have been given and how glorious this inheritance is.
Yes, Lord.
Can't know it without understanding. So Apostle Paul is praying for the Ephesian church. And this prayer today is also for our church, for the body of Christ. We should still be praying this prayer. God will give us the spirit. He will give us the spirit of wisdom, and not just wisdom, but also the spirit of revelation.
Yes, that's it.
Revelation is when we can understand a thing. Now I've been given some wisdom, but without the understanding, I still don't know. I don't know. What I hear is one thing, but what I see is something else.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So the reason why he prayed this prayer is what we will see in verse 18. If Bishop would just read it once more time. One more time, Bishop.
Once more time.
Once more time. Once more. I got another new word. Once more time.
Okay.
One more time, Bishop.
All right.
Amen. I'm having fun today. I love the Lord. I love
the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he called you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The riches of his glorious inheritance.
Glory.
And his holy people.
Holy people.
It's where
when
we are, holy
got,
people.
Yes, sir. Holy people. Mm-hmm. So one of the things this spirit is, the spirit is to do, and one of the things his job is to activate in us all that Jesus Christ has already promised to give.
Thank you, Lord.
To activate it so that we will execute in our giftings as we walk in it. Gotta walk in it, right?
Yes.
Walking with God. And as we are walking with God, it will open the eyes of our hearts. I hear that song. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. We want to see. See?
We want to see you.
We want to see you. We can hear, but we got to see. We got to have all of these working.
Yes.
Our sight, our hearing, our mindset.
Mm.
My God, our walk. Everything that we're doing has to be the way that God says to do it. So the Spirit activates in our lives.
Yes.
All of what? Our inheritance. Amen?
Amen.
So, Apostle Paul is concerned about these people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, he's concerned that their minds were dull.
Mm.
Dull. That's some rigor mortis setting in.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, the same veil that remains when the old covenant is read, it has not been removed.
Mm-hmm.
Because only in Christ is it taken away.
My God.
So when you've got something over your eyes and you cannot see, hallelujah, that darkness is there, that veil of darkness. Spiritually, it means that veil of darkness is still covering our sight. And only in Christ Jesus it'll be taken away.
Hallelujah.
Torn completely from your eyes, from your spiritual eyes.
To the back.
Amen.
To the veil.
To the veil.
Yes, sir.
The veil has to be torn. It has to be pulled off, torn apart. That veil of darkness.
Glory.
And it can only be taken away by the light of Jesus.
My God.
So we're going to focus more on the spirit of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
As Paul is talking about, the spirit of revelation and wisdom is our next part to really focus on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a law. That's called, there's laws in the word and principles in the word of God. The one we're focusing on today is empowerment, how we've been actually focusing on all these last, in every one of these messages that we've done. Because we have to be empowered, and it has to, as that empowerment that's in us through our gifts, hallelujah, activated through the Holy Spirit, it flows. And it gives us our identity, okay? Paul prays that this will be revealed the riches of their inheritance, the hope, the calling, the glory, and the power will be revealed to them. And he reminds them again. It's very interesting to note. He tells them that it is Christ's body. Christ being the head, hallelujah, very, very important. And we can only be made alive in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Made alive, hallelujah, hallelujah. So Paul reminds us, look at Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 4. Look at verse 4. Let's go back up to 4.
Amen. Ephesians
chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 4 before we go any further here. Look at verse 4. Hallelujah.
Oh.
Are you there, Dee?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So he chose us. Look at that.
He chose us in him.
Go ahead, Bishop.
For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless.
Be what?
To be holy and blameless. In his sight.
Mm-hmm. You can behold in his sight.
Hallelujah. It's more.
Yeah, there's more.
Let me see. In his sight. In love. In love.
In love, meaning God.
Yes, Jesus.
That's right. Predestined us for adoption to, this is good, to sonship.
That's right. My Father. Yes,
my
Lord.
Abba.
The
sonship.
Abba,
so when
Father.
You come into the revelation and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a son and a daughter.
Thank you.
Without that, not a son yet, not an adopted son and daughter yet, it makes it legal. An adoption, it makes it legal. We talked about adoption before.
Yeah.
When you give someone your name, there's paperwork that has to be signed.
Yes, Lord.
You got to go through the law.
God.
And this is the same way in the laws of God. When we abide in the laws of God, then we can become a son.
Yes,
and when you adopt a child in the natural, it has to be done through the law to make it legal. So we become legal sons and daughters. Otherwise, we are simply bastards. We are not
legitimate. Right.
Hallelujah.
Yep. Been there, done that.
So if you want to be legit, you've got to be working with revelation knowledge. And your gifts flowing through the Holy Spirit. All the gifts we talked about in the other messages, the gifts, the fruit. Hallelujah. You got to have all that working in order for us to know the power.
Hallelujah.
To know we can live through the power of Yahweh.
Yahweh.
That's called living through the power, walking in the power.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Dominion, having dominion gives us sonship. We know that before the foundation of the world, we were predestined. He predestined us for adoption.
Yes.
That means it was done before, predestined.
Mm-hmm.
So we were destined to be sons and daughters through Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Father. Thank
in accordance with his own pleasure and his will, in accordance with his pleasure and his will.
That's right.
So we got to make sure that we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Right.
Amen. It's for us when we know that we give the Lord some joy. We'll get some joy back. Hallelujah. His pleasure for his will.
Mm.
We were created to worship the Lord.
Yes.
We were made to worship the Lord.
Sheep of his pasture.
That's right. We were made to be the sheep of his pasture.
That's right.
We were made to give him pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
We were made for God to be his children.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So thank you, Father. I'm so grateful for that, to know that we are sons and daughters. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, it's so wonderful. There's so many benefits, so many wonderful benefits, and we're going to cover all of them. So one of the things the Spirit of wisdom and revelation comes to do is to make our eyes, to light us up, to be lit up in the spirit. Hallelujah. To make the eyes of our understanding to become lit. You know, we talk about that. I've talked about that. People want to be lit. The best way to be lit up is through the spirit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Bishop, through his spirit. Not to be lit up on alcohol, lit up on drugs, lit up, lighten up when that lover comes. You know, we light up. Oh, that's good when you know your husband and your wife love you. Yeah, it lights you up. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel good to know that you're loved and you're appreciated.
Yes.
Hallelujah, yeah. That you're celebrated and not just tolerated. It
yes,
makes you feel really good. But I tell you what, there's no better feeling than knowing that you're in Jesus Christ. There's no better feeling than when we know that we can be partakers of the riches of his glorious inheritance. Oh, how glorious it is. Hallelujah. And it's not, you can't compare it to any other power. It's incomparably greater. It's incomparable to any other power. Hallelujah. So we can have that. It's for those who believe. Lord Jesus, thank you. Then he said that the power in verse 20, Bishop, look at 20. Let's make sure we see what he says here.
Oh.
Verse 20.
Did it again.
It went on.
Well, he was sitting right there looking.
Okay, let me get the phone over
it's,
here.
It's okay. It's on.
Still on.
Yeah.
Praise God. Okay.
I was looking.
Okay. Can you all hear me and Bishop?
Man, hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon. Thank you for that sound check right there. Hallelujah. So in verse 20, Okay, well, I'll look at it.
Yeah.
So then he said that in verse 20, that the power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm.
Okay. Yeah.
Amen. Then he says in verse 21, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. These are what you need to focus on. Authority, power, dominion. When we know we have all of this, and it's activated through the Holy Spirit, we can walk in holiness.
The first thing in verse 21, it says, far above. Nothing more.
All rule, far above all rule and authority.
Thank you.
Power and dominion.
Yeah.
And every name that is now
and forevermore.
That's right.
Oh God. There's no one that's given more authority.
So it's for amen. No one. Here, Bishop, say that again.
No one is given more authority than the Lord Jesus Christ.
He has it all.
Far above.
Far above all.
That means there's no one ever going to do
it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the wisdom has to be there. Paul desired to see everyone walking in the power.
Yes.
He desired the Ephesian church and all of the churches. And even now, we desire God's church to walk in power, walk in authority, know you have dominion. And that is truly dominion when you're walking in it. When you know it and you're walking in it and allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to work with you constantly to keep your gifts active, to stay active, because we can never retire. We don't retire from the work of the Lord. We don't retire from the kingdom work, from kingdom business. We got to do business until we leave this place. We got to do the business of the Lord until we leave this place. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how young we are. It doesn't matter. We must do the work. Everybody's assignments are not all the same. But we must know that our assignments,
our spiritual assignment is to is that we use our gifts, allow the Holy Spirit to use us, allow God to use us for his glory. That's our spiritual assignment. Hallelujah. It's an eternal, it's an assignment until we leave this place. Hallelujah. It's our assignment. I said before, this is your training ground right here. This is your training ground to reign in the things that God said we can reign in. Amen. And you can reign in the power that he's put, that power and that authority. So this is now even for the present age that Paul was saying, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So we're talking about this present age as well, and also for the one to come. You see, this is the dimension. This is a dimension of experience that Apostle Paul is desiring for the church to walk in true dominion. Hallelujah. For all the churches of the Lord, for all the churches of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to experience this power. But the experience is going to be like alien. It's going to be alien if the spirit of wisdom and revelation is not there. Remember I said, it's like we're alienated. We are alienated from the things of the spirit, from God, when we have this wall up, when we have these different things going on in our lives. It's like a wall. It's like a big brick wall that separates us from God. We are separated from God when we do not follow in his ways, and when we decide we're just going to sin and do whatever we want to do. We want to feel good. We want feel-good sermons. We want preachers that's hooping and hollering and entertaining. We don't want to sit and listen to teaching. We want all of this hooping and hollering preaching, you know. But God wants us to learn. God wants us to understand who we are and understand what we're working with. You know, that preacher standing up there preaching and hooping and hollering, that doesn't make him powerful. That doesn't make him powerful at all. He doesn't look powerful to me. If you're not preaching the word to me, if you're not preaching the word and teaching the word and explaining the word, you might as well just shut up. I'm not even hearing you. I'm not even hearing that. Because if it's not the word of God, I will not entertain that. I have left churches right, because of that. I am all not right, going to be part of that entertainment. Right. I want to be where the Holy Spirit is being worshipped. Glory God, where God is being worshipped, where the true word of God is being preached. I don't want no watered down gospel. I don't want to just come because you want to entertain and hoop and holler and dance all over the place and get all up on the pulpit and jump all up and down. That does not excite me. What excites me is the word of God, getting that revelation of the word of God, knowing what God has already done, knowing what Yahweh has already suffered for us to have. He suffers for us to have these things.
Yes.
Glory be to God. Suffers for us to become sons and daughters again. So James 1, chapter 17. Let's go there. James 1, chapter 17. I'm going to go. James 1, chapter 17. Chapter 17.
James 1.
Yes,
verse
17.
Don't you think?
James 1, verse 17. Yes, Bishop, my teacher.
I know.
Yes. James 1, chapter 17. I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at it.
You're trying to get to it so strong.
Okay. James 1, chapter 17. I'm there, Bishop.
So you got in front of me, huh?
I sure did.
Mm-hmm.
I sure did.
James 1, verse 17.
You'll get there. We're not in a race.
You're right quick.
Right quick. With the quickness.
Mm-hmm.
Coming. Hallelujah. We're there.
Did you see verse 17?
Yes, I did, sir. James 1, chapter 17.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, my Bible reads, every good and perfect gift
is
from above, coming down from the Father.
Yes, sir.
From the Father, the heavenly light, heavenly light.
That's
does
right.
Not change like shifting shadows.
Ooh. He will not change.
Ooh, it ain't going to change.
Hallelujah.
He's so pure. So
yes,
he
he's true.
Change.
He's true to his
word.
I mean,
he could if he wanted to, but he's so pure. Why change was pure?
So pay attention to these words.
You can't do it anyway. You can't
change. Our Father.
God,
okay. Our Father, created all the lights in the heaven.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah,
then it's telling us, I'm sorry, what's that saying?
You'd have to hit 4 billion lifetimes, and you still will never cut any count.
No, you won't.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Haven't we been talking about the gift?
Uh-huh. Coming down from
John 3, verse 16 helps us to understand that gift. And it said, for God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son.
Yes, Lord. Jesus.
Hallelujah. He makes us understand that gift that came from above. And in Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, helps us to understand that the Son, who is the gift of God, of Yahweh, Jehovah, he is the gift to mankind. He is the wisdom and the power of God. How do I know that? How can any one of us know that? Because Jesus said it in John. Chapter 8, verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness.
My God.
Yeah, Jesus. But we'll have the light of life. So you see, Christ was given by God as a light to light us up so we could be lit, so our lives could shine for Christ. Our lives could shine for people to receive salvation. Our lives will shine, and we will have the power. We'll know we have the dominion. We'll know we have the authority because we've been illuminated in our mind. We've been enlightened in our mind. We're lit up. Ah, Jesus, we're lit up. Is your light shining today? Hallelujah. Wherever we go, the light has to shine. Without the light, we're walking in darkness still. We accept in him. What does that mean, accepting him? It means you have the light and you're going to be walking in that divine light. So we got to tap in. We talked about tapping in to that dimension that Christ Jesus calls wisdom. And that wisdom is to follow him. Will you follow him? I will follow him for all the days of my life. David said, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord for all the days of my life. That's what he said, I'm going to dwell. He said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, for I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing it to my remembrance. So called wisdom. He says, follow me. And without wisdom, we won't be able to do that. And without the understanding, we won't understand at all what that empowerment and that dominion and all of the things we've been talking about all last week and this week. He says, whoever follows me will never walk in foolishness. That's Deacon Frazier's sermon. He talks about foolishness all the time. And so does the word. He said, whoever follows me will never walk in foolishness, will never walk in darkness, and will never be anxious, things without thinking. Hallelujah. Just living by happenstance. No, 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 no. How is she doing? Never walking in foolishness. So wisdom here, we got to see. Get from under the cover. Amen. So wisdom here is associated with light. And light is so essential. We have to have the light of the world working in and through us. It's what we need for the sight, that spiritual sight, spiritual insight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So a person who can see is a person that is wise and know the power. He or she is a person that's not going to stumble in the darkness. He or she is a person walking in dominion. But we want to know, well, how do we get this sight? Really, really get it. When we get that understanding. It's by being. We got to be full of the knowledge of God, the will of God. And the will of God is inscribed in our hearts. Hallelujah. That's what it is. We're going to be rooted and grounded in the word. Oh, my goodness. Glory to God. The puppy's acting kind of weird. But the only way what we're talking about and what we've been talking about can only be activated by the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Something that a lot of people don't have, even in our natural lives. We don't have it. We don't think about it that much. What wisdom is, in a simple definition, having wisdom is saying that I am going to learn as much and I'm willing to learn as much as I need to learn. I want to see what I need to see and be able to align myself, stay in line with the will of God or the word of God, staying in line. Amen. Hallelujah. So our focus today, again, I say, is wisdom. Walking, living in the power of Yahweh. And the whole solution to the problem that most of, a lot of people do have is that we don't have the light. We're not lit. We're not lit spiritually. Gotta be lit. I'd rather be lit spiritually than to be lit up on any other thing. Yeah, when Bishop came into my life, I was happy, you know, and I was so happy. I was so happy to just have him because he was different from my ex, different, much different, but he was sent by God. So, you know, that explains it. But he made me happy. So I can say I was lit, you know. You remember that song, You Light Up My Life? Well, I used to sing that, and I was thinking I need somebody to light my life up, you know. But then I wasn't born again. I wasn't thinking about Jesus. But now I know he has lit my life up. So our focus ought to be about the problem. See, the main problem is spiritual blindness. And the devil's real good at trying to keep people blind. And the solution, again, I say, is the problem is light. So another word, we can say the darkness is without the light, of course, it's simple. And then there's that spiritual blindness, which is literally darkness. Without light, there's soul. As we study this, and even right now, the Holy Spirit will give us more. So it's my responsibility, Bishop's responsibility, to explain how light or wisdom can be possible in anybody's life. Thanks. So in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5, let's look at it again. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Here we go. Yesterday we were saying, ask God. He says you can ask him. Ask him about anything. Any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God. Very important. Who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So we ask the Lord right now, Lord, give us more wisdom. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, give us more understanding. Oh, Yahweh, we need it. We all need more wisdom. We all need more understanding. We're asking you now, Father God. We're asking in the name of Jesus to pour out wisdom, to pour out understanding generously upon us, because you said you would pour out on us, oh God. You would generously give us wisdom, God. So, Father, we receive. You should be saying, I receive the wisdom. I receive more wisdom, oh God. I'm saying I receive more wisdom. I receive more understanding, God, because I need you more than anything. I need understanding. You said in all you're getting, get understanding. Lord, I want more understanding. It's important. It's so important because people are walking in darkness and think they got it all going on. We think we got it all going on, but we don't. Many of us don't. So we got to know about this matter, about the matter of wisdom and revelation. Hallelujah. Because it makes us know our dominion. It makes us know about our authority. It makes us know about that dominion on this earth and also in ministry. Yes. What we are attempting to do today is inspire to have the desire to keep aligned and keep ourselves in alignment with God, knowing ultimately we cannot be active in our gifts without the light of the world working through us, which is wisdom. We got to depend on it. But We can't align ourselves with the word of God if we can't see what to align to. What do we have to line up to? So the Bible says God, the Bible refers God to be the Father of spirit. He is spirit. What then is required of every man to be able to see? Or I should say, what is required? Let me rephrase. What is required? This is required of every man to be able to see, hear, feel, and discern his will. To see, hear, feel, and to discern his will, thoughts, and instructions. You can only get it from the Spirit of God. Jesus said we must worship him in spirit and truth, my God, because outside of this, God is seen very far away, even though he's near. It'll seem like he's not there. Amen. We all should desire to have dominion. It's been given to us already. We all should desire to walk in the light and keep in remembrance through the Holy Spirit. He will keep us in remembrance of our experiences as we walk with God, as we grow in God. We'll be in remembrance of what God has already done because we've been walking in the light, and we can continue to talk to other people about our experiences, talk to other people about our trials and the things that God brought us through. And we can do that because God allowed it so that we would be able to help others. Mm-hmm. But if we're walking in the darkness, what can we share? We can only share the things of the dark. We cannot share the things of the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty.
Things of the dark.
Hallelujah.
You can't see the things of the dark.
No, you can't
because
see.
It is dark.
It's very dark. Quite recently, I'll share, before this horrible storm, Ian, I think it was, that destroyed entire communities. I mean, when you look at the news, the houses are flattened. Houses floating in the water. I'm sure y'all saw the news.
Cuba.
Oh, it just tore them up. And so that's how our lives, look at that. That's how our lives are torn up in shambles. But it doesn't look like it. But it's torn up. That's how our soul is. Our soul is not well. Our soul is not happy. It's not well. It's not spiritually well. It's not functioning in the Spirit of the Lord, functioning through darkness. Amen. So when you look at that storm and the devastation of that storm, that's how our lives is. It's devastation. It's devastation coming the way and in the way of our following the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a hindrance. It's definitely a hindrance. Hallelujah. See, God is the one that we have to look to in terms of our destiny. Amen? We have God-ordained destinies. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. But many of us don't consider the fact that we need spiritual wisdom, spiritual sight, and that wisdom plays an important role as to how we go through life, as to how our path is being fulfilled, and that our destinies will be fulfilled. That's how I should say it. That the path of our destinies will be fulfilled. This is very, very important. Many who say they are born again are still walking in darkness. We can see it in the world. We can see how things are done in the church, many of the churches.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Well, it's, you know, we see it. We see what God's doing in the earth here.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, well, see, there's divine judgment in the earth. There's divine judgment in the earth, and it's a wake-up. God is saying through this divine judgment that's in the earth now, wake up. Get some light. Get some light.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Instead of trying to get some of the other things that some of the things that we don't need, let's get some wisdom.
Nope.
Let's get our, pray God give us a light to light up our minds. You see, we got to know, because this is a terrible time we're living in. Mm-hmm. And because it's because God said so,
yes,
not just because we're living in terrible times, perilous times.
His word is going to come true.
Yes.
Every word is going to come true.
Amen.
It's going to come true.
It is going to come through. And it is. Many prophecies have already been fulfilled, and there is more.
I told you once, Apostle, I want to say this. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
A lady who I understand going back to what I want to get.
Thank you, James.
This lady told me, she said, why don't you be a preacher?
Mm.
Your uncle was a preacher. And goodness Amelia, my uncle's only son is not a preacher. Who am I going to be, Reverend Lowdown? You know, because I'm telling you, my slate was not squeaky clean. It was not. And I could not see myself preaching the word of God. I said, why should I be like them, Lowdown? You know, they and I'm talking about 40 years ago. You know, I mean, I can go back that far, 40 years. I can go back further than that. And I said, no, I can't see me. Me being a preacher? No. Because all I see these preachers doing is riding in these long cars that the church pays for every year, pastor's anniversary. They take, you know, they have a big thing for he and his wife. And then they have a pastor's anniversary for him being the pastor. You know, I'd had more men preachers back then than women, you know, but it was always pastor's anniversary, pastor's wedding anniversary, pastor's taking over the church anniversary, pastor needs a new car. Every other year, pastor had a new car and the church was paying for it.
You know, well, here's the thing, if I may say.
Yeah, I know where you're
if
going.
If I may interject something.
Yeah, go ahead, but I know where you're going, but go ahead.
No. Well, maybe you do.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'll tell you.
Well, I don't have a problem. I don't see a problem with them doing that. I don't see the problem with them doing that is if you're doing those things and you're not doing the weightier things, the things that is necessary and needed for
thank
people
you.
To be taught the word of God, for people to see you walking in the ways of God.
Yeah,
you know, teach by what we do.
Uh-huh.
Teach by what we experience. Uh-huh. What we've experienced is, and then what we are doing. That's how you teach, by what you do. Action speaks louder than words. The weightier matters. You know, are we doing the intercessory? Or are we really shutting down and soaking in the word?
Yeah.
We got to soak in it. Glory be to God. Soak in the prayer. Take time and be quiet before the Lord. Are they doing the weightier things? Are we taking care of the sick, the poor, the hungry? My God, are we taking care of the weightier things? Now, if a pastor in the church congregation come together and say, well, we want to bless the pastor. We want to bless. God said, you know, a worker is worthy of his wages.
Uh-huh.
You know, so if you really want to honor your leader, no problem. God doesn't even have a problem with that. But when you have greed in your working out of your flesh, mm-hmm. and you're using people for your greedy gain, that's different. That's different. If the people are not getting what they need spiritually, but you're getting all of what you need materially, that's not it. I'm not with that one. I'm not with that one, because why are you rewarding somebody who's not even walking in the Lord? Why are you giving of your wages to somebody who's not walking in the Lord, don't know the Lord, hallelujah, can't preach the word, and can only read the word and get no understanding out of the word? Then why are you lavishing gifts on people like that? That makes no sense whatsoever. Why? God said a worker is worthy of his wages. Or is he working the word? Is he working in the kingdom? Is he taking care of kingdom business? If he's doing that, okay. Okay. God don't have a problem with him having a Cadillac or whatever he wants. God is not, God ain't mad at him for that. But God is angry because, excuse me, sir, God is angry because of what they're not doing spiritually.
Thank you.
Amen. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
This is where I was going.
Amen.
What I'm talking about was, like I said, 40 years ago, you know, I was not in the ministry 40 years ago. Believe me, I was a part of a cult.
Okay.
Okay. Now, and I'll openly say it.
Mm-hmm.
I was a part of a cult because I couldn't see a lot of things that was going on where I was. But I could see things, you know, here on Sunday, you see the pastor driving his, at that time, it was electric 225s. They were calling the deuce and a quarter, long, low, and very expensive cars. It was all General Motors, Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, in that order. That's the way it came price-wise. You had a long, low car. Oh, I'm a pastor. Smoking a big cigar. Okay, fine. You had some good, honest pastors, but there was some who were taught, and because their forefathers and grandfathers and all were pastors of churches, now they turned the church over, the pastor turned the church over to their son, I'm going to retire. And you said it earlier in your teaching. We are not to retire from God's word. We,
no.
Until God says, Bishop James,
It's time to come home. Because you can minister from a sick bed.
Amen.
You can minister.
Amen.
One man ministered taking his last breath.
That's right. And what a way to go.
What a way to go. Bringing someone to salvation.
Home going.
And he was bringing somebody to, you know, saying the prayer of salvation on his hospital bed, ministering to people, and then he went home.
Hallelujah.
Didn't stop until he left this earth.
We had several pastors who left this earth praying people in salvation. Lester Summerall, man was ill.
Excellent teacher.
A fantastic.
I learned a lot from him.
And you know, people say, "Well, like Moses, I can't do it." That man studied but
you see,
still preached the word. He taught the word. And
he
When he finished teaching you, you knew.
If your eyes were enlightened,
that's right.
You would see and understand what he was talking about. And I tell you what, this same subject we're talking about now, that man taught me about dominion, authority. I didn't know about these things. I was a baby.
Lester
Summerall, Creflo Dollar, you know, at the time, Creflo Dollar wasn't. Yeah, Charles Stanley, and so much wisdom came forth. And then we met Apostle Callender, you know, and he gives us so much when he teach. Glory be to God. And he gives us so much as a friend and a pastor, an apostle, an overseer.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is our overseer, you know, our head. But he's the overseer of this church.
That's right.
And I tell you what. This church is anointed.
That's right.
This church got power flowing from it. Glory be to God.
Don't get me wrong. I ain't throwing bouquets at you. How about the whole garden? Bouquets, the whole garden, because Apostle Calvin goes out of his way.
Yes, he does.
To do.
Yes, he does. And he deserves to be honored.
That's right.
And, you know, I know a few other leaders who deserve it. It's just a few.
Many have come.
Apostle Billy Jefferson.
Uh-huh.
You know,
Here's a sick woman trying to take care of two sick people.
Right, right. And you have Deacon Frazier so dedicated.
Yes.
Always there. Right. Always calling to check on his friends and his brothers and sisters, you know, and always ready to encourage. And so this is when you had that thankfulness in your spirit. He's very thankful. Apostle is very thankful. Thankful, grateful for those people that are in his life.
Pay attention, and, people of God.
Yes.
If you be on this line every day, if there's any time to say amen, hallelujah, that's right. Deacon Fresh.
That's
he
right. Come
forth before most. You know,
he'd be listening.
Yes, he actually be there. This man be on his job listening. And everybody's not able to, I don't say everybody's able to come on their job and say hallelujah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it in my opinion. But there are a lot of people who are on jobs who, you know, say, hey, look, you want this job, you need this job, you know. And there's certain jobs you just can't do it. You know, you can't do it on certain jobs. There are certain jobs that won't allow you to do that. But you have to earn a living for your family and yourself, you know. And this job is the job that you were trained for. But we understand that you can't always do it. And then there's jobs that are very noisy. And you can't listen to Block Talk Radio unless you listen to it online after it's off, when you're off from work. But you can't always be there, you know, because your job might be a noisy job.
But you're there in the
spirit.
That's right.
You know, and you might have an earpiece in.
That's right.
You can hear what this, you know, what this is all about. But if you say hallelujah, the people that, you know, is on the line can't hear you. They can't even hear you in maybe the factory that you're working in because it's too noisy.
All right.
That's understood.
But, amen.
You know, hallelujah. I mean, there's some people who just dedicated. And it doesn't matter what time of day or night, they're going to praise the Lord.
No, that was
Prophetess Jeffrey Scan.
Still talking. So until we know that we must interact with the spirit of wisdom, which is the spirit of light. Wisdom and understanding give you light. Paul prayed for the illumination, the enlightenment of the mind. So Jesus tells us something here in Mark chapter 4, verse 11 to 12. And it reads, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you," meaning the believer. "But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding." Jesus is talking. So, spirit of wisdom is the spirit of revelation. The spirit of light opens up the mystery and the secret that are hidden, that we don't know about. They're hidden, they're secrets. But God will reveal to us. He will reveal to those who are born again, who are lit up in the spirit. Amen. You can read this and see and understand it. You're understanding when you read the word, because the light of the Lord is in us. The light of the Lord is in our hearts and our minds. I want to make let's look at what he says here again, this part. "To those outside the kingdom, everything is in parables. Those outside are in darkness," is what he's saying. The reason is because the word says The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, right? So that they cannot see the light of the gospel that shows us the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. And so here we see that we know we gotta have it, have the light. My question is to people, have you seen the light of the gospel? Have you seen it? Have you received Jesus? Who are you worshiping? Who are you more mindful about? Who is most important to you in your life? Are you a worker in the kingdom? Do you know the secrets of the kingdom? And how much do you communicate with Yahweh? These are questions that we must ask ourselves. Until these questions, until we reflecting on the word, reflecting on questions, questioning ourselves, examining ourselves, then we won't see until we do that. If we don't reflect on what we're talking about today, getting some wisdom and understanding, it will be very difficult to understand what we're talking about. Very difficult. Sight and dominion will be something that won't be exercised. We just won't have it because we're still walking in darkness, and that's what Jesus is talking about in that scripture. So the prophecy concerning Jesus said, he will not judge according to the hearing of his ears and the seeing of his eyes. He says he will judge according to the leading of the Spirit. Solomon demonstrated this as he led Israel. Remember, he was given a lot of wisdom. As he led Israel, especially in the case of the two women in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 and 49, about the two women and their child. No wonder. You see that wisdom. And no wonder the blind Bartimaeus cried out for help. No wonder. Jesus, he was crying out to Jesus. Remember? Blind Bartimaeus. Son of David, have mercy on me. Are we crying out? Are we crying out? We got to cry out for us. Cry out for others. Cry out for more and more of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're about to close. So the woman with the child, one, they both were saying the child belonged to them. So Solomon said, okay, y'all say the child. He didn't know which one was the mother. So he said, okay, well, let's just kill the child. And we won't have this argument anymore. I'm just paraphrasing. And when he said, kill the child, the real mother said, oh, no, don't kill my baby. Let her have it. That was the mother. So Solomon knew to give it to her because the other woman didn't care. That baby didn't come out of her body. She wasn't the mother. A mother wouldn't be able to stand there and watch her baby be murdered. I'd rather you just give the baby to her. That was some wisdom right there. Apostle Callender preached on that one time. So it's a good, good story. So blind Bartimaeus was crying out. A blind beggar, hallelujah, was sitting beside the road. The And when he heard that it was Jesus from Nazareth, he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they were telling him to stop, shut up, shut up. But he shouted even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him over." Hallelujah. He got Jesus' attention. So are we crying out? Are we crying out to Jesus? Are we crying out for others, for ourselves, our family, the country, and all that's going on in the country, all the injustice? Are we crying out about things? You know, when we begin to cry out and intercede, it's because we have the light. It's because we have wisdom. It's because we know we have to do that. And we're not just trying to show off. We're doing it from our hearts. We're not trying to look so smart and so speak so eloquent. We're just crying out for Jesus. We're just crying out and praying simple prayers. And God hears those simple prayers when it's coming from the heart that's lit up for him. When the light of Jesus is in our bodies, hallelujah, in our lives, and everywhere we go, we're shining. We are going to worship God, and we are going to do everything that God said to do. And so, so the miracle of sight or light, we'll be able to express that spiritual gift through the light, through the wisdom, and having that understanding about what we are supposed to be doing and who is the power that's working through us. When we get that understanding, we become determined to seek. We become determined to learn. We become determined to please God. Determined, hallelujah, glory to God. That's what happens. Glory to God. We want to please the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So we get, this man cried out. He wasn't giving up. As much as the people told him, shut up, he didn't just shut down and shut up. He cried out even the more. So when you're praying and you don't see your prayers being answered, don't give up. Press on. When you have a vision, when there's a vision that the Lord has given you, don't give up. Don't give up on that vision. Don't give up on those plans that God has given to you, because God is going to move in his own time. Just keep crying out to God. Just keep doing the will of the Father. Just keep giving and living in the power of Yahweh. Just keep doing that. And keep doing that, and next thing you know, things that you've been crying out for, Jesus was there, he heard it, and the manifestation is going to take place. If it's in the will of the Father, it's going to take place. Glory be to God. I promise you that, because God is a promise keeper. God keeps his word. What's wrong with you? Glory be to God. So we need to be at a place of desperation. Desperation. We got to get desperate. We got to get determined to see the manifestation. Hallelujah. The manifestation of the power. We want to see the power. Hallelujah. We want to see it, and we want to get as much revelation as the Lord will lay on us. I always say, lay it on us, Jesus. Lay it on us, Jesus. Lay it on me, Jesus. As much as I can take, God, lay it on me. I'm praying that God lay on wisdom. God lay on understanding. Oh, God, so we can walk holy before you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, we need you. Hallelujah. That's on the beds came to the conclusion, I need Jesus. Glory be to God. And Jesus said, let him come. Come on. Come on. Come here. And Jesus will be saying, okay, when you're saying your prayers and you're adamant about it, glory be to God, praying for people, Jesus answers those prayers. Hallelujah. He answers in his own timing, in his own way. Amen. So, thank you, Jesus. This wisdom comes from God. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Allow him to be number one. The scripture says that man shouted louder, not for the people around him to hear, but that Jesus would hear and see him, because his sight depends on Jesus hearing his cry and inviting him over as he provides mercy. The Bible said it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. That's what it says. It is the glory of kings to search it out, meaning that your dominion and glory on this earth is to search and see the things that have been concealed by God. Hallelujah. I read that again. The Bible said it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the glory of kings to search it out. That's the word of God. And it means that your dominion and glory on the earth is to search out and see the things that have been concealed by God. And the same God said, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great things, great and mighty things which you do not know. Cry loud like this, blind Bartimaeus, in order that you may see great and mighty things that you are ignorant of, don't know. Can you cry out for it? Crying out for the things that's going to keep you spiritually fed? Powerful, walking in the power, walking in the authority, knowing you have dominion? Crying out, God. God, I want you to use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. And then if there's something going on in your body, you need the Lord. Lord, pray. Put your hands on yourself. Lay hands on other people. Somebody sick, lay hands on them. Glory be to God. Always be prepared and prayed up. Glory be to God. And allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us about what we're supposed to do. And he will. He'll lay it on us. He'll let us know what needs to be done. We're about done here. See great things, mighty things. We got to be lit up. Got to be able to see. But I was about to share something with y'all, and I think I got sidetracked. But recently, I saw this, the Lord showed me this. It was like the river, the ocean rolls up. It just rolls up. And you couldn't see the ocean anymore. You couldn't see anything anymore. Everything was black. When I tell you it was black as tar, it was black as tar. You couldn't see beyond this big. It was like the water just made this big, this huge roar. And what is the Lord saying? That's how dark it is now. It's very, very dark in the earth. And the only way we can see what's going on is to be full of the Spirit of our Lord, to be full of wisdom, to have the knowledge of all, to be full of the Word. And God will show us great and mighty things. He's saying, you know, in that vision, people can't see, it's blocked. And then all of the storm came, but it was like the ocean rolls up. I know I was by the water, but when it rose up, next thing you know, when I looked, it was nothing but blackness, nothing but blackness. I mean, it was pitch black. So what I'm saying is this is a very crucial time, and y'all have heard it on this line. We have warning messages every day. It's a crucial time. We've got to get it. We've got to. You know, for our families, for our neighbors, you know, our community, we got to be praying for the government, the leaders, the police, all of that, because it's getting worse and worse. And you know, now they're throwing Christians into jail because of this abortion thing. I had a conversation about the abortion yesterday, and the person just feel like it's the right of the woman to do that. And I said, well, you know, one part of that is that God did give us a choice. God gave us a choice to live the way we want to live. He said, choose this day, life, death or life, right? But we have a free will to do whatever we choose to do. If you choose to murder the child, then you're a murderer. Bottom line, I said, well, when I talk to the person, it's murder. I said, think about it. And it really helped him because he said it's a shame that they're taking the right from the woman. And a lot of these people are going to get pregnant and they're not going to be able to have the abortion. Well, here's the thing. Abortion is murder. Okay? And I said that to this person. I said, it's murder. And I said, think about it. When somebody murders someone in this earth, when that murderer is arrested, that murderer is going to go to trial, and if he's found guilty, he's going to jail, and he's going to be sentenced either for life, 5, 10, 20 years, whatever. Sometimes it's a life sentence, and it's 100 years or whatever. I said, think about it. They get arrested for the murder, but yet when somebody does an abortion, they commit murder. They don't do any time. They don't have to go before a court. You had an abortion, you murdered a baby, now you're going to jail. Murder is murder. Bottom line, murder is murder, you know. And I'm against that. I'm against that. But God said people have the right to choose. And I told that person, I said, now that's between that person and God. That person and God. That person belongs to God. If they choose to murder, they choose to do this, and many have chosen that, then the doctor was an accomplice, the doctor that did it, the nurse that helped, all of them are guilty of murder. The mother, doctor, nurse, whomever was there, all was an accomplice, right? They committed murder. And then he understood it. I said, you see, God gave that life. And when it's taken away, it's murder, bottom line. He said, okay, I understand. But that woman can do what she want to do. So now you know it's the law. You know, they're shutting the abortion clinics down and all of that. Well, hey, it's about time. I've been praying for it. I've been praying for years about that, that all the abortion clinics, that they change the laws, and that all the abortion clinics be shut down. I kid you not, I've been praying for it, and God is answering the prayers of the saints. Not only I've been praying, but many, 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 many others, I'm sure. So it's now time for us to go. Just a few more minutes, and we're closing. So when a person, a man or a woman, has a problem with sight, see, that young man that I talked to yesterday, now he has a bit of understanding about it, about that subject. But he had to be enlightened. He had to, you know, when I talked to him, I talked to him and I gave him scripture. This is not of God. And the reason why they're throwing Christians in jail is because of that, because it's not of God, and because we're doing what's right, we're doing what's just. The devil hates it. So what? Here comes persecution. So when a man or a woman has problems with their sight, the person goes to visit an optician, and the optician will diagnose the problem. I go to the doctor for my eyes every month. And he gives me an injection in my eye, the one that I went blind in. But now I can see. I can see so good now. Praise God. Hallelujah. So my sight was completely gone. It wasn't just blurry. It was gone. I cried out to God to heal my eye. And he did it. I can see. So now I can see naturally. But because I knew Jesus, I prayed about my eye, put my hand on my eye, laid hands on my eye, and others were praying for me. All of my family was praying. All of my
church family praying. My eye was healed. Now, I still get an injection every 3 months, but I can see. And within so many, a couple of years, I won't need the injections anymore. But nevertheless, God led me to the right decision. God led me to the right doctor. He led me to the right treatment. You see what I'm saying? He didn't allow me to stay in darkness. He didn't allow me to stay without the knowledge that I needed to have, you know. So I'm just so grateful. So what we have to do in order to gain a spiritual sight, we need to become hungry and desperate and press for the answers. Press in. Hallelujah. It just doesn't stop there. There also has to be your willingness to follow through with prayer, study the word, we say it all the time, fasting and righteous living, being filled and led by the Holy Spirit. It causes you to be full of grace, walking in the truth, walking in the power of the Spirit, and we're not ignorant of the knowledge of His will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit inspires us. Hallelujah. Inspires. He teaches. He comforts. He leads us. Oh, my God, oh, so beautiful. I believe the Holy Spirit is igniting people today, igniting the fire in your heart. I believe it in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Now we're going to finish up. We're not done. We're going to finish up so much more scripture. Glory be to God. So I'll close with this. We must think like God thinks. We must see ourselves as He does and fix our minds on Him. We must base our life on our position in God rather than our experience. Amen? Hallelujah. You got to let go. Release your past. You got to let go. We got to let go of old things, of that old cycle that we've been in. Otherwise, we will never leave in an empowering way. We will never know the power. We will never know the Spirit like we're supposed to. We won't have that discernment if we hold on to all our old self, our old baggage, our old everything. We must die. We got to die to the past, and Bishop is going to lead you to salvation. And always remember your purpose. We drift away. We drift back into the darkness. When we lose sight of God, when we lose sight of Yahweh, our goal should be that we are going to live the word. What is happening in our lives. I'll leave you with that. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for the word. Oh, glorious, glorious God. We bless your holy name. Oh, God, bless those that came to listen today. Lord, I pray, God, that this word just resonate into them, into their soul. Lord God, we pray that people are getting rooted and grounded each and every day, more and more, getting deeper and deeper into the word of God and learning the secrets, oh God, learning those things that are hidden, oh God. Hallelujah, as you continue, oh God, to give us revelation knowledge. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for wisdom again. We thank you for understanding. We thank you for the authority, for the dominion, for the power that we're working with through the Holy Spirit. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ, keep us living in the power of Yahweh. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Now, Bishop is going to lead you all in the prayer of salvation. Amen. glory be to God. Are you ready? Almost.
Praise God. Praise the Lord, God Almighty. I do basically the same thing every day. I can only encourage you so far. Now, you've heard the word of God. Let it lead you and guide you with all this truth. Because every word of God is true. Now, as the pastor just said, there's only one way. There's the only way, and that's Jesus the way. If you want to live, it's your choice. The word of God says, choose this day, death or life. No one wants to die and burn in hell for all eternity. To heaven saying, I'm going to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You definitely can't think about it and receive God as your Savior, because the Word of God says, and if you have a Bible, everyone doesn't have a Bible, but if you have a Bible, if you would turn with me to the book of Romans, at the 10th chapter. And I'll give you a few seconds. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. And it clearly states. Okay. If you're there, give me an amen so I know that you're there. It's a bad habit I have of trying to bring souls to the kingdom. Give them a chance to turn to the pages, you know. Everybody doesn't have recordings, and everybody doesn't know the scripture right off hands. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior before, maybe you've never even heard this before. But it's the book of Romans, chapter 10. Verses 8 and 9. And the word of God says, and what does it say? That's what it says. It says, and what does it say? It says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, if you want to be eternally happy with Christ Jesus, oh God, in paradise. When we cross over, we want to be in God's good graces. And His graces is His obedience to Him. Just follow the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes, you know, and do what the Word of God says. Don't lie. Follow the Ten Commandments. Don't steal. Follow the Ten Commandments. Don't blaspheme your God. Just read them for yourself. Now, the Word of God, as I said, it says in verse 8 of chapter 10 of Romans, it says, but what does it say? The Word is near you, which means you must speak it. You must speak it. You must say and put it into the atmosphere, for the enemy cannot read not one thought in your mind. But he can lie to you and tell you that he knows everything that you're saying, but he doesn't, that you're thinking, but he doesn't. You don't know what you're thinking. And that's the reason God inspired the writers of the Gospels to, you know, to put it exactly like he said. Like God Almighty said. Okay? And if you believe in your heart, verse 9, you believe in your heart that Jesus died for our sins and our iniquities, not his own, it's
sin was put on him. He carried the weight of the world, all the sins of the world on his shoulders. And if you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, and you say it out loud, I believe you, Father. I believe that you died for my sins, Jesus. And I believe that God raised you from the dead, Lord Jesus, King of kings and Lord of glory. Speak it out loud. You don't have to scream and yell and dance and, yeah, like David did, dance out of your clothes to accept salvation. God made it so simple and so easy. That's why he sent Jesus, hallelujah, to save the world, not to condemn it. Like people think, he didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. He sent Jesus to save the world. And that he did. Thank you, Lord Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords, Lord of glory of everything, the head of God. And if you've made that confession, then your slate is clean. You've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Anything that you have done before, done, said, well, in the middle of an act of doing wrong, any kind of sin against God is wrong. Any sin against God. There's no such thing as little sins and big sins. They're all terrible. Don't sin against God Almighty. Don't think about doing nothing wrong. You know, if something comes to your mind, you don't know who's telling you. If it's something that's evil, it's the enemy. Because he's going to tell you how to do all, going to inject these thoughts. God is only going to tell you pure and wholesome things. You know, meekness is not weakness, folks. Be meek. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if you're a son or daughter who has strayed away from the path of righteousness, get back on the path of righteousness. Come back to Jesus. He's standing at the door waiting. He is the door.
Yes,
he is. Hallelujah. He's waiting for you to accept him once again. As your Lord and Savior. Look up like earth, wind, and fire says, keep your head to the sky. As long as you got your head, your eyes looking up to the sky and asking God to forgive you for all of your sins, you will be saved. You shall be saved. And that's in the Word of God. Chapter 10, verses 8 and 9 of Romans. Now, the next scripture I'm going to give you is in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, where it clearly states, there's no other way, no other name mentioned under the heavens. There's no other name mentioned for salvation except the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him. Jesus went through a lot of suffering and pains to save us, and he didn't deserve it, but he's obedient to Father God. He's obedient to his Father. He took on the sins of the world. Please don't let Jesus take on all this pain and suffering, the scourging at the pillow, the pulling out of his beard, the crown of thorns shoved down on his head into his flesh. Oh, God, help us, Lord. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You made a believer out of me. And so, Papa, at any rate, we love you. We're so glad you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, your next step is to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, as it says in the book of Acts, at chapter 2, beginning at verse 38. And Peter said unto them, repent, which means, and by the way, once you made this commitment to God, you must repent. Don't go back to what you were doing or saying, or if you were living with someone, call them up and say, hey, I ain't never coming home anymore. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you saw that movie, All Them Nights, but it happened in the movie. And we always threw that in somewhere, you know, a little humor, but it was how easily people are so easily swung by the enemy. Yes. It sounds funny, but it's really evil. So I am never coming back. In Jesus' name. And that's the seal of approval right there. I'm not coming back. Not to you, Satan. I'm not coming back to you. I'm only going to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God. No, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Thank you, Father. So congratulations to each one. And as Peter said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it also says in that word, also come from among them. Do not go back to what you were doing. Repent. Stay away from people who led you astray. You know, keep going to your church if you got a church. And if they don't baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which it was years before I got that revelation, there was several ways they used to go into the Bible and pull scriptures out, and the pastor or whatever would say what they want to say about a couple, and almost like a standard operational procedure, you know. But they have to preach repentance, and they weren't saying that. I never heard anybody get married and repent. Don't go back to the way you were living. I never heard anybody say that. Go back to your old ways, you know. And if you do, believe me, if you do go back to what you were doing, it's very, very difficult to resist. I tried it, and believe me, I tried stupid, and it didn't work. I don't like stupid. No, Apostle, I don't like stupid. Stupid was stupid. You know, and I was so blinded by the enemy's tricks that I didn't even realize that the things that I was doing was so against what God said not to do. That's why I asked him to forgive me, and occasionally I'll back and rededicate my life to Christ Jesus again, because I never know when Father God is going to say, Bishop, it's time for you to come home. I can't cross over in a bad state. I refuse to do it. So the enemy knows, he's a defeated foe. This is one soul he's not getting. And I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone who has never received him before today will receive him as their Lord and Savior. I want the enemy to know and say it, yes. I want Jesus as my Savior. And he will accept you. Just repent. Don't go back. Okay? Don't do it, folks. God bless each and every one of you. Yes. Invite people to your baptism, which is an outward sign that you have got out of a camp of the enemy. Yes. And you're now with...
No.
You're going to desert that army. Desert that army and come into the army of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Each and every one of you, God bless you. If you've accepted Jesus today or you have been backslidden and you return home by rededicating your life to Christ Jesus, you know, you are saved. If you made that confession and truly believe it, spoke it out loud, you are saved. The word says, you shall be saved if you say that confession. Now, who knows? We don't know when the Lord will require our soul. this may be the last chance you get, even if you weren't baptized. Okay? You must make that confession in order to be saved. As I said, baptism, it's an outward sign to everyone in heaven and on earth that, hey, you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that is Jesus, the way, the only way. It's through him.
The only way. So, the truth
and the life. That's right. So may God bless you and keep you. May he shine his face upon you and give you peace. So we're looking forward to hearing from you. You can always come to Blog Talk Radio and listen. You can come online or you can get us live, you know, while we're on 7 days a week. Sometimes eight days a week, if there's such a thing. No, we can't change that. It's going to be 7 days every week. Well, you tell that young lady to be quiet, please. That's the puppy. That's the young lady I'm talking about. She's on the plant. She's pulling a pastel sock off of her foot. So God bless each and every one of you. And may God have mercy on you and your family. And I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone in your family is well. And no one is ignorant. No one is sick. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, Apostle Calendar, it's back to you, sir.
Is Mother Grant on the line?
Yes. Mother Grant, if you're there, you want to do your reading? You want to read your scriptures if you're there?
She
could come in late. That would be beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Deacon Frazier? Are you available to make comments, sir?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you, Jesus. Leave it there.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Praise the Lord. Apostle, we're done. Hold on,
you know, that puppy reminds me of people that go to restaurants and then stare other people's plates down. I like that, what they got there.
Thank you so much, Apostle. Thank you so much. Father, we bless your name and praise your name, oh God, for this man of God, this woman of God, that, oh God, they're standing on the wall like Nehemiah, and they're not coming down. We ask you, God, to bless them going and coming. We ask you, O God, to let your light shine upon them, that they, O God, would be a candle on the hill, Father, that cannot be hidden. Lord, we pray today, O God, for everything that they are doing, O God. Let it bring glory and honor to your name. Let it be for their good and for your glory. Father, we declare and decree, O God, that no weapon formed against them would prosper. And every tongue that rises against them in judgment right now, we condemn it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, God, they shall be the head and not the tail. They shall be the lenders and not the borrowers. They shall be above and not beneath. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for provision. We thank you for providing all their needs according to your riches and glory. And Father, we thank you, O God, for the anointing that destroyed the yoke and removed the burdens. Oh, Father God, we thank you that they are victorious, O God. Ah, yes, Lord God, that the enemy sees them and the enemy backpedal because he know that they are washed in your blood. And Father, we thank you right now. We bless your name. We praise your name, O God, for there's no one worthy of praise, honor, and glory but you, Lord God. You're the one that shed your blood at Calvary, the blood that never lost its first estate, Lord God. And Father, we honor you right now. Oh, Father, we ask you, O God, to put your arms of protection around them. Oh, God, we ask you to, O God, set a hedge around them like you put around Job, O God. That don't matter what the enemy bring, he will not be able to penetrate that hedge, O God. Oh, Father, we just thank you. We praise you, O God. This word as it's gone forth today, oh God, let it accomplish what it's sent out to do. Oh God, let it touch those that are lost. And oh God, and those that have backslidden, God, let them be drawn back into the fold. You said that there are many that belongs to the fold that are not yet in the fold. But God, we ask you to draw today, because it's not by power, not by might, but by your spirit.
Yes, Lord.
I mean, bless your name. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen.
I have John here. John here is working hard today, as always, and he is grateful that you all are praying for his son. I have the pastor Goodish and Pastor David in Ghana and Pastor Malua in Kenya are praying for him, praying for his son, Javon Gant. And we know that God has already heard our praise. We know it's just a matter of time before we get to the manifestation, the answer to the prayer, because the Bible says that while we are yet praying, God has already heard the prayer. He's already answered.
Yes.
So we just got to, we are waiting now for the manifestation. We know the manifestation will take place very soon in Jesus' holy name.
It will.
Thank you so much, Apostle. Yes. I'm going to get back to work. We're trying to get this thing knocked out today, and then we'll get inspection sometime this week or next week. Okay?
All right. Thank you, Apostle, for the prayers. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And
thank you for the word.
Glory to God.
Yeah, John said thank you. John said thank you for praying for his son.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to continue to pray. We prayed. We lifted him up last night, and we're going to do it again today. Hallelujah. We'll continue until the manifestation takes place. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you. You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
If nobody's coming in, you can go ahead and close out. I guess you closed out already?
Yes.
No, we didn't close out yet.
No, sir.
We called for Mother Grandpa. She wasn't there, so we can close out.
No, she's not on the line.
Right. I know. Okay, so Deacon Frazier must be busy, so we're going to go ahead and close out. Praise God. Thank God. We enjoyed the word today. I enjoyed it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go on and close, Bishop.
Go ahead.
Close the line, please.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So may the power of God, the strength of God, sustain us. Word of God, protect us. The hand of God, protect us. Oh, God, help us, Father God, to look out for one another while we are apart from one another.
Yes,
God, and we will be seeing everyone on tomorrow. For the good of we'll be here on Black Talk Radio. Praise the Lord. And I want to say good day to everyone and enjoy the rest of your day. And may God be with you and your family. Jesus' name. Amen.